I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Revelations. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before this throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To Him who loves us and freed us from our sins by His blood, who made us to be a kingdom, priests serving His God and Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, He is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him. And on His account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The Word of God for the children of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Johnny. Many people do not like surprises. They don't like surprises at home, at work, or at church. One of the surprising things about the book of Revelation is it's full of surprises, and we find those in there every time we read a chapter. For example, in the Gospels, we are told that Jesus died for our sins, that God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. Yet in Revelation, which many here have in recent past studied, we are told that very few will survive the end times, that most will die for their sins. We hear about the elect, that Jews and Christians will be saved. We hear about a bloody conflict that Jesus never spoke of. And this came up in the panel discussion when I was at Jarvis a couple of weeks ago. Here are these words from the Gospel of Matthew. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with power and great glory. And He will send out His angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather His elect from the four winds, from one end to the other. No battle. We're not here in blood and guts. We're not here in a battle. Just gathering of His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Interesting wording, don't you think? So the book of Revelation offers a great many surprises. How do you feel about surprises? Do you like them or not? Are they okay in some areas of life and not others? Or are they simply unacceptable? Now let us look at another item that is surprising in Revelation. Grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. Did you catch that? Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead. Now, what it begged the question of these students that we were having a panel discussion for is they said, what about Lazarus? Was he not the firstborn of the dead? Well, no matter. We know the intent. So let's look at another interesting part of this scripture. One of the topics of discussion students brought to the theological table was on talking about the state of the church in the 21st century. Why aren't ministers more honest about the inconsistencies in scripture? Young people were conveying to the panel that kids are more educated now, that they see the inconsistencies, but no one will discuss it with them as though they are treading on holy ground, and you never question Scripture, which we know is simply not true. When Sunday school teachers of all ages present a book of the Bible, a specific passage or in total, the class discusses what it means to them, as in each member personally. And we all know that we don't all see it the same way. And that's okay. That's what makes Scripture so wonderful and incredibly wonderful, is it speaks to each of us where we are at that time. It speaks to us collectively and individually. Many of you have shared with me how you understood books and passages when you were young, as compared to how you feel now that you're older and how you understand it. Some of you have even shared that Scripture meant something differently to you when you were speaking to someone who shared a different viewpoint. And perhaps you said, aha, I never looked at it that way. But that's the beauty of Scripture. It talks to us. It's always talking to us. We can reread and reread throughout our lives, and we're going to get a different meaning to us at that point in our life. Scripture can speak to us from different points of view and different ways. And that's something to be thankful for, to give God the glory. Two middle-aged couples were enjoying friendly conversation when one of the men asked the other, Fred, how was the memory clinic you went to last week? Outstanding, Fred replied. They taught us all the latest psychological techniques, such as visualization, association, and so on. It was great. I haven't had a problem since. Sounds like something I could use. What was the name of the clinic? Fred went blank. He thought and thought, but couldn't remember. Then a smile broke across his face, and he asked, what do you call that flower with the long stem and thorns? You mean rose? Yeah, that's it. He turned to his wife. Hey, Rose, what was the name of that memory clinic? In psychology, memory is an organism's ability to store, retain, and recall information and experiences. In the Bible, the Greek word to remember is aletheia. Aletheia literally means to not forget. And in the King James Version and many other translations of the Bible, the word aletheia is also translated as truth. And there is truth in Scripture. Try to remember this, or try not to forget. The Bible speaks to each of us in different ways at different times for different reasons, for different needs in our lives. And that's the truth. Let's go a little further now. To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood and made us a kingdom. Did you catch that one? He made us a kingdom. Now hang on to that thought. To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood. Freed us from our sins. Hold on, because in the next two chapters, that is in chapter 2 and 3, we have the messages to the churches. Then in 4, the slaughter begins. The slaughter of those by He who loves us and freed us from our sins by His blood. A man named Fred inherited a huge land grant, but the will provided that he could choose land in either Chile or Brazil. He chose Brazil. Unhappily, if he had chosen Chile, he would have received his inheritance in land on which they had recently discovered uranium, gold, and silver, but he chose Brazil. When he arrived in Brazil, he had to choose between receiving his inheritance in a coffee plantation or land with Brazil nuts. He chose the nut trees, and immediately the bottom fell out of the nut market. But coffee futures went up $2 a pound. The government took control of the nut farm for back taxes, and Fred was left destitute. Fred pawned his Rolex for the money he needed to fly either to New York or Boston. He chose Boston. When the plane for New York taxied up, he noticed it was a brand new Super Concorde with red carpets. After several hours' delay, the plane for Boston arrived. It was a 1928 twin-engine plane held together with baling wire, and it was filled with cigar smokers and unattended crying babies. Over the mountains, one of the engines fell off, and Fred, frightened by his earlier bad choices and fearing for his life, asked for two parachutes. He jumped. As he fell through the air, he tried to make up his mind which ripcord to pull. He pulled the cord on the left, but nothing happened. He pulled the cord on his right, but it broke. In desperation, the poor fellow cried out, "Saint Francis, save me!" A great hand from heaven reached down, seized him by the wrist, and left him dangling in midair. Then a gentle but inquisitive voice said, "Saint Francis Xavier or Saint Francis of Assisi?" The poor guy couldn't win for losing. But that's life sometimes. Life is risky because it's full of choices where we don't always know the outcome. And many of us live in fear of making wrong choices when trying to understand Scripture. And there is no reason to fear because Scripture speaks to us where we are right now in our lives. And that may be quite differently than it did hours ago, days ago, weeks, months, or years before. There are people who have read the same Scripture over and over their entire lives. Then a loved one dies, and they read that same Scripture, and it has a different message for them. It lifts them up. It supports them. It gets them through. We must allow our God to reach us where we are now. And finally, let us hear these continued words from John of Patmos. A little something added to what you heard before. "To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Did you get that? "To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father." And you say, "Who? Me? A priest?" Yes, you and me. Now maybe you should be scared. You are priest to his God and Father. And when we go off the beaten path and do those things contrary to the teachings of Jesus Christ, we're called on the carpet. Because we are priests. We don't like to look at us that way. We like to think that somebody else is going to take the heat for that one. It may be that we feel like we can sit in church and everything's okay, but there's someone a little higher that's going to suffer when we don't do what we're supposed to do. We're the priest. We're the ones that are called to take the ministry of Jesus Christ into the world. So when we're not nice, when we take that word and beat people over the head with it, or we go to people and we talk badly about them, or we mistreat them, or in some other way try to harm them, we're a priest doing that. What's up with that? Maybe we should be scared. Maybe the book of Revelation speaks to us in ways that we never dreamed of. You are priest to his God and Father. If you're not quaking, if I'm not quaking, we should be. This is in line with everything we read in the Gospels, Paul's letters and the other letters of the New Testament. We represent our Lord and Savior as priests. We are not here to ensure everyone understands Scripture as we do, because we know not all people will understand it as we do. We just covered that. We all understand it differently at different points in our lives, but we are to ensure that everyone be exposed to the Word. That is what we are commissioned for. That's what we do as high priest, is ensure everyone hears the Word. But we don't beat them over the head and say, "Oh, but you have to understand it the way I do." Let's talk to some of our Sunday school class teachers. Jack, when you have a discussion, does everybody agree? Oh, no. John, you've taught. Does everyone agree when you have a discussion? Not quite. Lee, Have you had everyone sit there in agreement on the same scripture? Oh, sure. There's an exception. And Bible studies that I've done in Hebrews, I'll bring up a topic and everyone in the room will come up with something different, a different take on what it says to them. But the fact is it speaks to them. It speaks to them. That's what God wants. I'm going to reach you through my word. And I may not reach you the way I reach Susie. I may not reach you the way I reach Johnny, but I'm going to reach you. You're going to hear the word, and you're going to know that I am God. We need not explain God's word. We only need to ensure that it is read. So if we're out here in the world and we're telling everyone our way of believing, we're not doing any service. Jesus did not tell them his way of believing. He said, hear these words, and he read scripture to them. And then he said, love one another. Greatest commandment of them all. We can't love them if we're beating them, even if it's verbally. But we got to say, here it is. Here's the food. Eat this food and let me know how that tastes to you and how it speaks to you. So may we be as compassionate and understanding with those exposed to the Word of God as he has been with us when we sit in a classroom and we discuss and we don't all agree. But God loves us. He reaches out and takes us in his loving arms and said, God love you. I love you so much. And you don't have to all agree. Just know that I am God. And if you know that, you're already on a good path to know our Lord and Savior. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come before you this day, we know that you speak to us in so many ways, that your word has so many different meanings that we can take that and go to our Thanksgiving Day table and say thank you, praise to you, that you speak to our children, to our teens, to our young adults, and to our adults, that we may all know you in a special way with that special relationship. Be with us and guide us, for we ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen. We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.